The title of the message for today is Church, a Dwelling Place for God. If you could just look at the title, because it's a very distinctive and amazing title, if you could appreciate that. Church is a dwelling place for God eternally. Okay, I want to begin with a quote by C.S. Lewis. Not that C.S. Lewis has a greater way to attract the people than the truth itself, but I think this truth is so true. That's why I want to share this. And he wrote, "All that is not eternal is eternally out of date." I just want you to get a little bit oriented, because we don't think about eternal things a lot, but I just want to draw your attention by quoting C.S. Lewis, "All that is not eternal is eternally out of date." What are some things that are eternal? There aren't a whole lot of things that are eternal. Your degree is not eternal. Your degree that you work so hard to attain, it's not going to be eternal. In fact, in about, 50 years you're passing, nobody will care. Probably nobody will care. Nobody will care that I went to dental school. Did you even know? Right? Does it matter? Right? Degree is not eternal. And what about like something that we treasure, like cars, clothings, toys, electronics? You know those are not eternal, right? I have a record player on my desk. Do you know what that is? A record player, LP. And, you know, I listen to them. I listen to LPs, and I used to save up all my, allowance from my parents, and sometimes ask for more, so that I could buy this LP, which was like $20 back then, which was a lot of money. Those are all outdated, or being outdated. So I want you to think about that. As we go through this season of harvest, there's going to be a time of harvest, right? And we think about our life. What is eternal? Whatever is not eternal will be eternally outdated. But the gospel is eternal. Christianity is eternal. And you may be thinking, if you are a thinking person, how is it possible that a story of a Jewish person of a small place called Palestine who died 2,000 years ago is applicable to me 2,000 years later in North America in this multi-ethnic setting? I am an Asian, I'm a Latino person, I'm a Caucasian person. How does that apply to me? Right? Don't you think that, right? How is that possible? 2,000 years ago, someone died, and someone supposedly was raised from the dead, resurrected, and how is that message is an eternal message to me? Well, I tell you, there are a whole lot of things that are eternal. But God is eternal. If God exists, God is eternal. Right? If God exists, God is eternal. And when we say church is the dwelling place for God, and that's the church, church is eternal. That's absolutely scriptural. And that's absolute truth that scripture speaks about. Do you agree? So, dwelling place for God. Can you picture with me? So we're thinking of a building, thinking of a place where holy God, eternal God is dwelling. What kind of place would that be? In the Old Testament, it was a temple, right? You go to Jerusalem and this holy place, and you can't even get in there without the blood. Remember that? In fact, you are not allowed to get in. Only the priest and high priest get in once a year. So it's a very unapproachable place in the Old Testament, right? But now, the dwelling place of God is you and I, the church, eternally. So that's it's a pretty striking message. If you consider Christian message is meaningful, it is an eternal message. I want us to go through the book of Acts, which is a historical record or recordings of the church, first church, or the New Testament church. You know, Bible is history. Old Testament is basically from creation all the way to right before coming of the Messiah. It's a history of a nation, and the main person who is on the Old Testament, I call it chapter one of God's history, is God the Father, right? God the Father. And then Jesus came, who is the God the Son, the second person of Trinity, with his followers and disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 2. After his death and resurrection, he ascended, and Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of triune God, and that's the chapter we are living in right now. It's the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, and the church. So these are big topics. So Book of Acts is about the historical recording of how first century church was birthed after Jesus' ascension, sending of the Holy Spirit, and Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. When he preached, people repented and became believers. Okay? That's chapter 2. So on that day, 3,000 members, 3,000 Jews, okay, Jews, ethnic Jews, believed, and they became the first church called Jerusalem Church. And chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm going fast, is basically how church flourished in Jerusalem, and then persecution came to church, right? The Jews and the religious establishment hated Jesus. They hated Christians to the point where they wanted to eradicate, literally genocide. You know, we hear about genocide. In 20th century, in 2,000 years of history of mankind after Christ, there were more genocide than ever before. Did you know that? In 20th century. We human beings are supposedly becoming more civilized and building a utopia where we love each other, but there were more people killed and genocided in 20th century than ever before. You know, nothing changes, people. There is nothing new under the sun. So people wanted to genocide and eradicate Christians, but amazing thing happens in chapter 7, where one of the seven deacons, his name is Stephen, young Christian, full of faith and full of Holy Spirit, and you know they wanted to kill him, just as they wanted to kill all the Christians. So Stephen knew, it's pretty amazing if you read chapter 7, he knew they wanted to kill him, and he preached to them. Does anybody want to kill me? I guess not, right? Can you imagine preaching to the people that they are going to kill you? He's preaching to the Jews about Christ. And right after that, people were raged. It's pretty amazing. When you listen to the word of God, you either repent or you get raged. Did you know that? Oh, I can't take this. It's so offensive. You know, that's just the way it is, because the word of God is alive. It demands your repentance, your submission. If you're not willing to do that, you get raged. You get raged. Heck with this church. I go to church where it's more soothing, more relevant. So when Stephen preached, the Jews were raged and they stoned him. Right? We talked about that. That's the way the Jews kill. They pick up a stone and they throw rocks at the person that they try to kill. And there is no mercy there. And I did some research. Your skull needs to be crushed, or your thorax needs to be opened up to die. And that's how they kill, by stoning. And they kill Stephen. On that day, a city-wide persecution broke out in the city of Jerusalem. That's the history. City-wide. Could you imagine that? Now, the soldiers were involved, and people were sending out and just capture and eradicate all the believers. I mean, we don't go through that in America. The things are changing, but not to that extent. But do you know that goes on throughout history? It goes on in Middle East. It goes on in North Africa. It goes on in China. It goes on everywhere, people. History, right? So the citywide persecution of Christians were happening in chapter 7 and chapter 8. So because of the persecution, people kind of scattered, Christians scattered, and they ran for life. Could you picture that? From Jerusalem to Judea to Phoenicia, going northern like Syria and to Asia Minor, and people began to scatter. An amazing thing happened, something that we would not expect to happen, happened because of the persecution. You know what it was? As the Christians were scattered, they shared the message of Jesus Christ. You know, I cannot help but to think when I read the history of a book of Acts, maybe that was the providence of God. Christianity going forth through persecutions. A lot of people say pandemic is very scary. And it is. Absolutely it is. Do you think this pandemic is happening and prolonging without the sovereign Lord knowing about this? There's got to be something God is doing. And one of the things that I'm sure that God is doing is He is building His church. I will build my church. The truth of the matter is so many people are leaving the church right now. You know, I read from Gospel Coalition article, and I shared this last week. In America, for the first time in 80 years, almost in 100 years, church attendance is the lowest right now, lowest. People are leaving. People don't want to come to church because it's dangerous, right? But I do believe, just as God used persecution in the first century history, church spread, and the gospel went forth from little town of Jerusalem to the rest of the world. And that's what God is doing right now, I believe. Okay, so chapter 8, it's Judea and Philip, Ethiopian eunuch. I'm just going through really fast, okay? And chapter 9, story of Saul becoming Paul, his conversion story. What is that about? Is that about personal conversion story? It is, but God is preparing something much greater than that, because up to chapter 8, it is all about Jerusalem and Jewish Christianity. Starting from chapter 9, for the rest of the book of Acts, it's about the gospel going forth to the rest of the world. And He's preparing the apostle, the instrument of God, who is Saul, right? And he is becoming a Christian. And then the rest of the book, Paul dominates. You know that, right? Up to chapter 8, it is all about Jerusalem Christians, Jewish Christians, under the leadership of Simon Peter. Starting chapter 9, it's all about missionary work and the Christianity going forth to the rest of the world under the leadership of Paul and Barnabas and Silas. Do you see that? Okay. So, chapter 9, Saul becomes Paul, Apostle Paul. Right? He was the one who was persecuting and ravaging Christians from young to the old. There was no mercy there. You know, people with the religious war, there was no mercy. They just kill. Right? But God has chosen him to be the instrument to carry out the gospel to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. And today I want to pick up from chapter 10 and 11, which has the story of this Italian, centurion, Roman soldier. He was like a high officer. And this Roman army was stationed in the city called Caesarea, which is a huge city in the Mediterranean world of the Roman Empire. And he was stationed there. One day, he was just God-fearer, Bible says. He was a seeker, like some of you right now. Devout. And he was praying, and Holy Spirit kind of direct him. Once you go down to little city called Joppa, and ask for Simon Peter and ask him to come and preach. But you have to understand something. Up to this point, for the Jews to go to Gentiles' house was unlawful. You cannot do that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because you will see that in Acts chapter 10, it is unlawful for Jews to go into Gentiles' house. That is not Old Testament biblical teaching. But the tradition has changed for the worse, I guess. So there is no way for you to be able to associate with any other ethnic groups other than the Jews. However, it was a leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to read chapter 10 and chapter 11, which is a fascinating chapters. Okay, if you read it carefully. So Simon Peter comes to this household of a person named Cornelius, and who is a Roman soldier for the first time, and he's preaching for the first time in history to the non-Jews. Okay? How many of you are, maybe there is, but how many of you are Jews? I don't mean in an ethnic sense. Most of you are not. And yet you are sitting here worshiping the living God because of what happened here. Because God's heart extended beyond the Jews, beyond Koreans, beyond Asians, beyond my ethnic groups. I'm sharing this because we are living in a very multi-ethnic world, don't you think? How many of you work in a very mono-ethnic, work environment? Probably not many of you. Most of you work with all different kind of ethnicity. And yet our hearts could be very mono-ethnic. We're so limited, so closed off. Sometimes even have a very lower view of other ethnicities. I asked in Korean service, is there any ethnic groups that you hate? Is there any ethnic groups that you kind of look down upon? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, right? You may have. Okay, so I'm sharing this message. So Simon Peter came to Roman family and he's preaching this message for the first time in history, and that's where we pick up. Okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Led by the Spirit, Peter came to Cornelius' house. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." You know what that means? God doesn't care about your skin. God does not care about your male-femaleness. God does not care about your, businessman or an employee, slave or master. God doesn't care about, God shows no partiality. You grew up in Christian family? Doesn't matter. God looks at you and look at your heart. God is so fair. God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. And as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace. Did you know that? Gospel is the gospel of peace because Bible says you are an enemy of God. You hate God. You don't obey God. By nature, you want you to be God. Be autonomous. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want my autonomy. I want my sovereignty. That's your nature. Therefore, it offends the sovereign God. Okay? But Jesus came with the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know, we ask this question, why is that message of Jesus, a Jewish dying 2,000 years ago, apply to us? Because he is the Lord of all. Lord of all. Let me declare that right now. Joe Biden is not above Lord of all. United States of America is not above Lord of all. NATO is not above all, above the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all, Scripture says. Okay? He came as a man. You yourself know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John has proclaimed. I guess this news went up to Caesarea. Okay? So you may have heard of him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Remember, we are living in the third chapter. God the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to be a Christian and church. Holy Spirit came upon Jesus with power when he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And God was with Jesus. So the good news is about Jesus. It's not ethical teaching. It's not moral teaching. It's not suggestions. It's not like you should do this. It's not like that. It's about Jesus. Person of Jesus. When you turn on a news, 1010, you don't hear about moral teachings. You should be a good son. You should read the Bible more. That's not what you hear. You hear the news about a fact, about what's happening, about people in different countries, history, facts. So good news is about news. Okay? So God, verse 38, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, listen to this, and we are witnesses. Simon Peter saw everything. The thing about Christianity is based on first eyewitnesses. And I know I speak to, you know, Kevin about this, you know, lawyer. That's very important in the court of law. The case being established by eyewitnesses. And Christian gospel is based on eyewitnesses of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Okay? So we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And here is the message. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. So interesting. Speaks about the cross. Now, whose method is crucifixion? Romans. And he's preaching to Roman soldier. Roman soldier's family. And he describes as they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. In other words, the gospel is about Jesus and his death. Okay? Let me continue. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. In other words, he was resurrected and he was shown before 500 people, but not to all people, but to us, eyewitnesses, who had been chosen by God as witnesses. We are witnesses. Are you listening? I am a witness. That's a key word in the book of Acts. The theme verse of book of Acts is chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, when you become a Christian, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Christianity is. If you are a Christian, Spirit lives in you. That's Christianity, people. In Romans chapter 8, says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Are you walking with the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to walk with the Holy Spirit? Or do you do Christianity once a week? Christianity is not like that. Just as you don't marry someone and you do marriage once a week, you don't do Christianity once a week. Okay? Not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach, now listen to this, to the people, and to testify that he's the one who was appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. Let me break a news for you, just in case you didn't know. You're going to stand before the judgment of God. Every single one of you. Let me break this news in case you never heard of this before. Because that is the gospel. You will stand before the judgment of God. Everything exposed. Every record written. And you will be recompensed according to the life that you have lived. This is the biblical truth, people. Let me pause there for a second because you may be thinking, wow, that doesn't sound like a good news. That sounds like a bad news. Okay? Can I just ask you, are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of God? And I mean it. Look at me, please. Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of God? If your whole life is exposed right now, are you ready to stand before Him? Chances some of you are, because of the grace and the gospel, but some of you aren't. So listen carefully, because the good news is about to be shared today. That's what Simon Peter is doing to Cornelius's house. Okay? So, he commanded us to preach the people and to testify that he's the one who appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. You know what? Resurrection proves that he's the Lord of all. That is why the message of Palestinian Messiah who died and resurrected applies to you and applies to us. That is why that is the eternal message. Okay? So it's about him, it's about his death, it's about his resurrection, and it is about his judgment. So what's the good news? Where is the good news? The truth of the matter is, all of you without Jesus are standing condemned. That's what the scripture teaches. Where's the good news then? In verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness. In other words, the entire Old Testament and the Bible is about him. History is about him. He's the Lord of all. That's why you go to school. That's why you get married. If your marriage is above your lordship of Jesus, you are living an idolatrous life. If your career is above living for the lordship of Jesus Christ, you are living an idolatrous life. You need to turn. Okay? So where is the good news? Here is the good news. All the prophets bear witness that everyone, not just the Jews, not just Koreans, not just Latinos, not just Caucasians, everyone, right? Everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. When you stand before the judgment of God, your crime has been paid for. That's the good news. That's the good news. If you look at this first historic sermon of Simon Peter to non-Jew, to Italian centurion, it is very similar to the message that we talked about last week where Paul preached in Athens in Acts chapter 17. It is very similar to Stephen's message in Acts chapter 7. Do you know why? Because the core of the gospel is Jesus. About the person. He's the Lord of all. He's not a dinky person. You just kind of pick out of your pocket whenever you need him. He's the Lord of all. And he's going to be the judge. What happens in between? He came and he died and he was resurrected and he's going to judge. And those who put your faith in him will become the dwelling place of God eternally. That's Christian message. Okay? So let me just say a few things about this message. The first thing I noticed about this first preaching of Simon Peter to the Gentiles, which is a historic sermon. Peter preached his first sermon in chapter 2. And then there is another sermon in chapter 5 to the Jews. It's all to the Jews. Chapter 7, Stephen preached another sermon to the Jews. It's all to the Jews. But it's the first time an apostle is preaching to the Gentiles. Because God's heart is for the world. How about yours? How about yours? I pray that New Heart would open the door and God would bring different ethnicities to this church. I really do. You know, we've been praying for this. If your heart is closed, it's very difficult anyone to come in here and feel comfortable. I don't think it's the color, skin color makes people comfortable. I think it's your heart that makes people comfortable or non-comfortable. Is your heart open? Right? Here in chapter 10, it is the Cornelius family, Italian, non-Jew, for the first apostolic apostle who are eyewitnesses of Jesus, who saw everything, is preaching to them. And one of the first things that I picked up, one of the first things that I noticed, if you look at his sermon beginning at the end, is that God's domain of grace and salvation is to all people, all nations, to everyone. It's not Koreans. It's not Jews. It's not Caucasian. It's all nations. Those of you who agree with that, would you say amen? It's absolutely to all nations. That's the way it was from the beginning. When God called Abraham, through your seed, all nations will be blessed. But Jews, I think they just misunderstood. They thought they were special people, and they were. But God raised them so that they could preach the gospel and goodness of Jesus, goodness of God to the nations through the nation of Israel, but they failed to do so. So God is raising up a new people, something called church. Okay? So domain of God's grace and salvation is to all people, all nations, to everyone, and anyone who believes. And it begins with this statement, there is no partiality. There is no partiality in God. You're special because you're a Korean? No, you're not. You're special because you're a Caucasian? No, you are not. You're special because you're educated in this college? No, you are not. You're special because you have this great business? No, you are not. There's no partiality. That's the heart of God, people. Okay? And God brings peace. You know, if you're enemy of God, and soon there's going to be a judgment, it's an urgent matter to you. It's not like you want to push it off, you brush it off until next opportunity. You don't want to do that. Do you? If God, He's the judge, and you will stand before Him in any moment, when He offers peace, we should receive it humbly. If you repent and turn, you will be my people. That's the gospel. Okay? Peter said, Jesus is the Lord of all. He actually came, people. He didn't send a messenger, small messenger anymore. He actually came. Second person of triune God. Son came. Why? Because this message is that important, people. And you kind of brush it off. People brush it off. Son came, preaching the good news. The Logos came. So what's the good news? Jesus of Nazareth, who was empowered by the Holy Spirit and doing the good work, and basically He was crucified. Can I just tell you, why was He crucified if He's the Lord of all? If He's holy, why was He crucified? Listen carefully if you don't know this gospel. Because otherwise you will die eternally. That's why He was crucified. In other words, His death was the payment for your crime. It's not His crime. Do you understand that? The wage of sin, penalty of sin, is death. And how many sin have you committed? You know, we talk about this. 10? 20? 100? Billions. Zillions. In the presence of Holy God. So your death will be eternal. you'll be paying for it eternally. Just as if you violate the law of the United States of America, you'll pay for it. You will, and you deserve it. And God's law says you're going to have to pay for your crime eternally. So why did he die? He died to pay for your penalty. Okay? But God raised him. Why did God raise him? Because God can. Can I just tell you that? God has an absolute sovereignty and authority over life and death. Death is not natural to God. Death is underneath God. God raised Jesus because he can. And the second reason is because the payment is done. The penalty is done. There's no reason for God to leave his son dead. That's what the scripture teaches. Did you know that? So he raised him. He doesn't have to stay died because the penalty has been paid through the blood, through the death. It is done. It is finished. Isn't that what Jesus said? It is finished. Right? So God raised him, which means his payment for your sin has been received by God. It proves that your sin has been paid for. Does that make sense? That's the message of death and resurrection. And he's the Lord of all people. Is Jesus Lord of you? Lord of your life? Do you love him and do you live for him? This is the same message Paul preached in chapter 17 in the, you know, the Greek epicenter of Greek philosophies and teaching in Athens, in front of all these philosophers and the elites, the smart people of the world. Paul preached the same thing. He died and he was resurrected, and he now commands all people everywhere to repent, because God has fixed a day that he's going to judge the living and the dead. And you need to repent. You need to repent. God's giving you a chance and the gospel to you, good news to you, for you to live. Believe and live, in other words. That's what he's doing. And yet people are brushing him off. Right? So what is so good news about this news of Jesus Christ of death and resurrection? Verse 43, right there. Everyone who believes, only if you believe. It's not everyone. Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness, pardon of your sin, which is an impossible thing for you to do. Did you know that? You cannot do this by your good work. You could never reach that. You could never reach that. How are you going to compensate 10 billion sin that you have committed before the holiness of God? There's no way. But the good news is that has been paid, absolutely paid, by the blood of Jesus Christ and his death. Perfect death. If you believe in him. If you believe in him. God's good news is through his death and resurrection, he made you live, people. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't you forget that. You give some offering, little time, little service, and you feel good? No. People, it's not like that, people. It's not like that. It never meant to be like that. He's the Lord of all. Okay. Just want to close. God is in control of history. And your life and my life, it's a little portion of it. I feel like You know, I just turned 59, and I feel getting old. I never like to admit that, but I admit it. I feel like my life is slipping away. But this week, I was thinking about my life, you know, through my birthday. What could be more meaningful at this stage of my life, if that is truth? What could be more meaningful, worthy, than to live for what He has called me to live for? And I mean it. I mean it, people. You know, I was so thankful. This week, this year we were able to finish the Gospel of John. 101 messages. We're able to finish 25 topics of attributes of God. We're able to finish 2 semesters of discipleship. We're able to finish the book of Jonah. Now we are in the middle of this church. And I was able to have 1 year of gospel coaching by this godly man. And trained to be a coach so that I could help someone. And the story goes on and on and on and on. And I'm deeply, deeply, I was grateful. How about you, people? What eternal things do you live for? What eternal things do you live for? I just want to close with this good news summarized really well. For us Gentiles, we're all Gentiles, okay? We weren't ethnic Jews, but the gospel, praise God, it went beyond the boundary of the Jews, beyond the boundary of Koreans, beyond the boundary of Latinos. It went to all nations, for all people, to everyone who put their faith in Him. And that gospel is beautifully, beautifully summarized in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. But let me just read it to you. This makes so much sense this week to me, and I wanted to share this. Therefore, remember that at one time, you were Gentiles. You were outside of Christ, right? By this uncircumcision, by what is called circumcision. The Jews called us Gentiles. Verse 12, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ. You had no life in you whatsoever. You're separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God. And some of you are still there. No hope. You know, when we go to work, we talked about being an employee and employer. Whichever case you may be, most of us are employees. When you go to work, which is the place where we are sent to, people do not have Jesus. They have no hope and no life. I am not saying we are superior. I'm saying we are graced and redeemed. They have no way to hear the hope and the gospel unless you open your mouth and live out the life. You understand that? Right? Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who once were far off has been brought near through the blood of Christ. Only through the blood of Christ, people. Only through the blood of Christ. That's not a Korean message. That's gospel message. Because only through His death your sin could be propitiated and His punishment and wrath can be satisfied. Right? For He Himself is our peace. Jesus is our peace. He's the Lord of all. He is our peace. with God and with one another, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandment expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man. There is only one new man, one humanity in Christ. Latino, American, Afro-American, doesn't matter. There is no partiality. No female, male. Master, employee. Only one mankind who are one body with Christ. That's the church. One new man in place of the two, so making peace. And make reconciled us both to God in one body through the cross. There is only one way you could be saved. Only through the cross, people. Look at me, please. No matter what your background is. Only through the cross. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off. Peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Only through Jesus we have access. Sounds like John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Unless Jesus is lying, which I don't think he is. People who say all religion lead to the same thing is a lie. Either Jesus is lie or that is lie. Right? So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of household of God. We are brothers, families, sisters, household of God. Is anybody excited about that? Could you say amen? Church excites me. Church excites me. I know it excites the heart of God. Church excites me. Does it excite you? Right? Household of God. Household of God. And 20, build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In other words, the entire Bible is about Jesus. And Jesus is the cornerstone. He himself being the cornerstone. Are you picturing a building? We're picturing a building, a church. You and I are building. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. You want to be part of church? Only through the blood of Jesus, people. Anything that cannot go through it, you have to let go. Otherwise, you won't be able to be part of church. You could come into New Heart, but God's church I'm talking about. Okay? And the final verse is that where the title came from. He's talking about the church, the glorious church, the eternal church. In him, we also are being built together. Right now, he's being built together. That's a passive present active. Who's doing the work? Jesus said, I will build my church. He's doing the work. Right? Being built together into a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know what happened when Simon Peter preached to Cornelius' family? As they were listening, Spirit came upon them. And I believe that's biblical. And I've been praying, as you are listening to the Word of God, Spirit may come upon you. I do, actually. Brothers and sisters, it's a little bit more than American dream, isn't it? It's a little bit more than what I've been craving for all my life, isn't it? It's a little bit more than what we normally converse. And hopefully we converse something like this after the service. Right? Some people complain. Right after service, we talk about nominal things. It's okay. But my thinking is, if this is in my heart, I would have a hard time talking about nothing all the time. We talk about nothing with such excitement. Oh, did you hear about that nothing? Oh, that nothing. Yeah, I'm excited about that nothing too. We do that all the time. Like when people listen to this, this is so ridiculous. You know why you speak about nothing? Because nothing is here. What fullness, out of the fullness of your heart you speak. And my prayer is that, man, this is a some scale of truth, isn't it? Some scale of truth. Church is eternal people. And who are the church? Church is the dwelling place of God. Can you picture with me? Dwelling place of God. And we are the dwelling place. Let's say I'm a brick, and Jaden is brick. A little smaller than me, but you know. We have to rub each other and be patient and love each other to be a building. That's a church, people. Right? And then there's Paul. I don't like to sit next to him in the plane. You know, because he violates his seat. Right? But when I am next to him, being patient and love each other, then we become a building. We become a church. Do you realize when you go to work, people outside of this church in Hicksville, without Christ, there is no hope. I'm not saying we are superior. We are redeemed for a purpose. And that boundary goes beyond Korean. Absolutely, people. It goes beyond young professionals. It goes beyond American church with a dream attached. It goes beyond. It's the heart of God, people. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Let's pray.